In today's episode, Yissa, Rietsma, and Brent talk over a little history of Magento and where it came from, and the strong Ukrainian community that helped build it. We dive into some of the questions around the Magento Association and transparency in the Magento Association. Yissa brings up the concept of ruthless transparency and how that will help our community to continue to grow. We pepper the talk a little with Shopware developers, Magento developers, and of course, training. This episode is brought to you by the Magento Association. Join today at magentoassociation.org/join. Be part of a great and vibrant Magento community. All right, welcome to this episode. Today I have Yissa. And it's funny, whenever I talk to Yissa, I tell my wife, and she says, no, it's Yissa. Because I say something inevitably wrong, and she said, every so time... Easy. Yeah, I'm correcting you every day of the week because I talk about Yissa every day. He's like my hero. So she's, can you ever just say his name though, Yissa?
Well, it's such a coincidence that actually I have that same conversation with my wife. And then I say, oh, what, I have this call with Brent. No, was it Brent? Brent. And then
even more New confusing. Zealand, it's Brent.
Yeah, and then even more confusing, I call my wife Susan, and so do you. So,
yeah. So you go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us your role and what you're doing on a day-to-day basis and maybe one of your passions in life.
All right. So, yeah, my name is Jesse Rijtsma. I'm from the Netherlands. I own this little company called Yirio. I've been building extensions for many years, but actually in the last couple of, let's say, 5 years or so, I've been mostly helping Magento developers become better at being a Magento developer by supplying them with trainings and help wherever. But yeah, recently I hopped over to Shopware as well. And I didn't really change my original market. So I'm still doing a lot of Magento things. But I'm also helping out Shopware developers becoming a better Shopware developer now. So that's exciting stuff. Oh, and a thing that I'm really passionate about is, Magento and Shopware, but also a little baby girl that keeps me busy in between.
Yes, congratulations. And we had an interview scheduled for the day of the birth, and I really am really upset that you decided to cancel it.
For some reason, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for that, Brent.
It's okay. Yissa.
I'm just gonna, yeah, that's perfect.
Yissa. I clinch my butt when I say it, and it helps me to do it. Yissa.
You hop up a little bit. Yeah.
Yes, Yissa.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Shopware, apparently.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Magento, but obviously there's something else also going on in the world.
Yeah, let's talk about Ukraine, and I'm going to make sure that this episode gets out this week. So I would like it to be timely and relevant.
Yeah, but the situation is also evolving so quickly now with many frightening, but also maybe optimistic things even to some sides. But yeah, theoretically tomorrow the whole world is different again. But yeah. So in short, I think we're all just in general just really shocked and horrified with the whole developments there. And truly also because we know a lot of people from the Ukraine ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's when we think back on our careers now in Magento for the last 13 or 14 years and how Ukraine has been such an integral part of that there has been Meet Magento Ukraine, and there's all kinds of things that are focused around that. And then, as you said, more importantly, all the people that are there and all the people that have been involved in Magento all these years and how things now have drastically changed for everybody.
Yeah, and it's also surreal. So I had a call with somebody from Kiev on Wednesday, and the first half an hour of that call was really about the tensions building up. And my question was also like, what are you going to do? And his answer was, I'm not gonna flee. I can't leave because my parents are here. My pets are here. I've got a family. I've got a life, and it's not just easy to just leave it all behind. But yeah, the surreal thing was basically that same Wednesday night or Thursday morning, the bombings started. And that's, yeah, that's just horrifying. And in between, I think it's also really a good thing that also the Magento community is now becoming aware of its own identity, that a lot of people are realizing that Magento was by Ukrainians that were also living in LA, but that had their backgrounds back there. And of course, a lot of developers, the core developers, came from Kiev, and that's still true today. So that a lot of Magento community members are realizing those roots and also while starting to help out as well in many different ways. So I've heard about demonstrations of Magento folks being on the streets just to make sure that they make sure that the Ukrainian voices are heard, but also financially helping out. And I personally found the most emotional part also that people were jumping in the driving to the Polish border, where there's this huge line of refugees trying to get across, and that people basically just jumped in the car to pick up upon those refugees. Or maybe even more emotional, folks that I know from the Netherlands that jumped in the car to get their mothers or fathers across the border as well. It's happening right now. So that's one reason that we couldn't skip upon this story at all. Of course, still the topic might be shopware.
Yeah, and I think I've read tweets about developers working and telling their team that they're going to get this pull request done, and then before they have some time, there's no bombing, so they're going to get some work done. And the overarching goal is for everybody to be safe. But I think realistically as well, and those, sometimes it helps to pretend your life is normal for that one or two hours. It is such a sad time and hard now. Like, I think you've said it's surreal, like, many times. It is unbelievable that suddenly it is a large now chunk of the world that has been this, that's been thrust to the 1940s.
Yeah, and that's especially the horrifying thing, that a lot of these, the tensions, but also the pushing of emotions and the facts that are being rewritten into alternate facts and etc. It's all reminding me personally also pretty well about the Second World War, so the 1940s of the previous century. Yeah, it's horrifying. But as you mentioned also, there's still pull requests coming in from Ukrainians right now. And that's showing maybe also that a lot of those people still have a passion about technology as well. That brings us maybe to the other topics. I don't know.
Just as we close this out, where have you been recommending people go to help?
Personally, I don't know. So I've seen a lot of other people already make those recommendations, and I feel that I don't want to be that person that is basically taking away their advice and repeating it again. So others have already the real recommendations, trying to support the Ukrainian government or either the Ukrainian the army with finances. And theoretically, that's one way. The other part could also be trying to put some pressure upon the Russian government so that basically the war is just shortened and definitely not getting worse with more terrifying weapons being introduced. And of course, also simply just supporting the Ukrainian folks by saying, hey, we're here. And even though we're not experiencing the same thing, we do understand that it's a horrible situation that you're in, and we're not forgetting about you, even though that maybe Brent and Jisse are going to talk about shopware. That might be surreal, but it doesn't mean that actually we let go of you guys, and we're basically with you in thoughts.
And the saddest part is the people that are suffering because of this and have nothing to do with the decisions that had been made. And it is, there's nothing good that is part of this. I don't know how to transition to the next topic in an easy format.
No, but that's maybe life as well. There's no easy way, so let's just transition. Basically, a lot of Magento developers that once got started with Magento are now happy to dive into shopware itself as well. And I'm personally one of them. Do ask me questions, Brent.
All right, and it's, by the way, it's Brent.
Brent.
I would like you to work on getting my name correctly.
I talked to Susan during the Adobe Developer Live conference, which took place about a month ago, I believe. There was this presentation of Chris Hedge, and he basically pointed out that Adobe doesn't have plans anymore to add new features to Magento open source. And that's basically something that you've just mentioned. Their aim is really to go into enterprise, their own Adobe customer group and allowing them to expand upon the commerce bit. However, that being there was this excellent blog post of Andreas von Stutnitz from Intergernet, and he pointed out also that basically that decision might be really bad, sounding really bad at first, but there's a lot of good things from that same attitude as well, because there's a long-term support edition coming up with the Magento open source version. There's still Adobe being involved with the open source development, but mainly then bug fixing. And also not adding new features is also making sure that no new bugs are popping up as well, so that the community is maybe there to make sure that all of those features are there in the form of extensions. So yeah, theoretically, Adobe Commerce is definitely a market, but there's still a role to be played for the Magento open source edition as well. So a lot of smaller merchants might be simply just sticking with Magento open source after all. But yeah, they might also be interested in Shopware. That's of course, the arguing that we have as well.
Let's stick on the topic just a little bit longer, and let's debunk some of those things that came out from social media immediately after that presentation at Adobe Commerce Live Developer, whatever they call it. The first thing that we saw come out of that is that Magento or Adobe Commerce is going SaaS, which is a complete misrepresentation of what he said. And it means is that the new features that they develop are going to be SaaS features. The next thing that he mentioned was that Adobe is going to hand over the open source to the community, which is also incorrect. They are going to maintain the long-term support of Magento. And long-term to me says 5 years or something like that, or a long time, right? In the software world, a long time is definitely under interpretation, but that long-term support means that it is going to be around and it is going to be maintained, and it is the underpinning of Adobe Commerce, which the author of that said blog or said LinkedIn article and video did not happen to mention. And it is somewhat sad that people that aren't familiar with the software and just jumped to conclusions off of that have then started to promote these jumped to conclusions. And
that's still maybe to be on their side. I still think that there's actually still this tension between what Adobe wants with the old Magento and now Adobe Commerce and what the community wants. So that tension is still not taken away. It's still that there's a problem. There's basically two different groups of people thinking about that same product in different ways. So maybe that those jump to conclusion people, they were jumping to conclusions that are maybe still to be made somewhere in the future. It might very well be that the whole Magento / Adobe thing is turning into a SaaS. I don't know. But it's more that at least on both different sides, there's an effort to try to help each other out on the short term. And that's definitely a positive thing.
Yes. So what we've seen is that both Magento, all three parties, Magento or the Magento community or Mosca, the Magento Association and Adobe have come together and at least are talking now, right? And there's some agreements and some plans in place in order to keep Magento or to ensure the Magento merchants who are on Magento 2 open source that they are on a valid platform and it is going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, and definitely, and that's what we learn, of course, in these times. To get a solution for any kind of problem, first you need to get started with the talking base, so that at least you're talking and listening to each other, and then you can work upon solutions instead of just only going your own way.
Slimming down the Magento core by decoupling all of bundled features that are in there and then not adding new features to Magento is going to make Magento inherently easier to upgrade in the future. If you look at what a SaaS platform does, they have essentially a stripped down version of their software with a bunch of peripherals that attach. And you still have the ability to build in your feature or add a feature directly into the code just like it was before. It's just not going to come in the core version of it. That's not to say that there's an STS thing that happens that gets pushed into LTS, that gets pushed into Commerce. There is features or things that are going to happen that get into the core, just like any other platform. But what the goal here is slimming the core down to make it easy to upgrade and cheaper to use.
Yeah, and we wanted that from the beginning anyway. So it's actually a big win already for the community that by talking to each other, by making sure that Adobe also listens to the lower end merchants, that basically the outcome is already something really positive off.
Yeah, I want to talk about one last thing. We're on the community side, but then I do want to move on to PWA and Vue Storefront. From the community, so just closing out on the community aspect, we are running an unconference on April 8th, and then Shopware has their Shopware unconference on April 9th. And I think I spoke to some people that said there are absolutely not going to be any conflict with timing on this. Nobody from Germany is going to come to the US for our conference, and nobody in the US is going to come to the conference.
Yeah, which is like a pity, right? So I've been in the US before to attend Magento events, and I think actually one day we're able to do that again. But yeah, but maybe COVID has also changed things that people are not willing to fly that much at this moment. But that might be different next year. So I definitely think next year there shouldn't be a conflict in dates.
So just since you went to events, or maybe I went to events, but we just held Meet Magento Mexico. We did it as a hybrid format. And typically we have struggled to get the Mexican events in person. We've struggled to get a couple hundred people. This time we capped the in-person event at 40 or 50. Adobe was great to sponsor COVID test kits and things like that. And then we're thinking, I think last year we did Meet Magento. We had a couple hundred people attend the virtual version. This year I think we had nearly 500 people attend in an all Spanish event. And I think that's really exciting. So you're right. I think that there is a different opportunity for people who organize them, and there's a different opportunity for the in-person part of that event as well. So there is something to be gained from both. And I
So
think we're.
hybrid version would be actually excellent for the future as well, yeah.
Yeah, so hybrid in terms of the presentations will be beamed out to the rest of the world. They can see them. They're not going to be there to do that handshake in-person thing. But I think that this hybrid idea is going to be the way of the future. And it also, I think it'll mean that some of these events that had high ticket prices, and I think we see ETL West or some of the events that happen in the US that the ticket price is $4,000 or something like that. There's going to be competing events that are hybrid that your ticket price would be almost free if you're not going to attend, and then the attendance price would be something. I think that there's going to be still a shakeup in what happens in that realm.
Yeah, and it's not only COVID related, but also just the whole world changed. And theoretically, by making it hybrid, we're at least also giving people the chance to attend that don't really have the finances to fly all over the world and et cetera. Yeah, I would definitely favor it.
Yeah. All right. I wanted to touch a little bit on PWA and maybe just Vue Storefront and how it is that SaaS model. Explain to me, as I understand it, Vue Storefront can be hosted at Vue Storefront, and it's attaching via some APIs to the application.
So I have to be honest, I'm not totally up to date anymore upon the current architecture. So Vue Storefront has undergone a lot of different changes in the last couple of years, related also to that they're being backed up by multiple different fundings in general, but also because they've been working upon modernizing their own stack and modernizing their core architecture. That used to be called Vue Storefront 1, and that was really related only to Magento 1 and Magento 2. But then they've been opening up that same technology to other platforms, including Shopify, including BigCommerce, including Shopware as well. So they just simply refactored their own core so that it became adjustable and with a plugin architecture, connectable to other e-commerce platforms along the way. And somewhere along that line, they also started to offer their own Vue Storefront cloud on its own. And I know about that cloud, or I knew about that cloud in the form of Vue Storefront 1, where Vue Storefront 1 also needed, besides Magento, it also needed Elasticsearch. It needed a specific Redis instance. It needed a Node, because Vue Storefront, based upon Vue, it's also based upon Node. And in general, you need a Node server to get certain parts of the technology up and running. And because of that thing being hard, they started to offer their own cloud as well. But what I don't necessarily know is whether that same cloud solution is still fully operational when it comes to Shopware PWA, because with Shopware PWA, there's the PWA part hosted by ViewStore, or in the form of a View Storefront app, which is connecting directly to the API of Shopware. So theoretically, if you're on a simple on-premise self-hosted Shopware version, you can already use that View Storefront API as well, or the View Storefront bits as well. In a similar way, Magento 2 also has it now, a new connector with View Storefront 2, and that's again like that same more simplistic approach. So theoretically, I'm not sure how that new architecture of View Storefront 2 fits in with their own View Storefront cloud. But yeah, they're the guys behind it. So obviously, they have a reason to help you with their infrastructure. And yeah, that's like the thing that I know.
All right, so let's move on. Let's close out today just talking a little bit about Magento Association. I know that's an exciting topic for everybody. The Magento Association is looking for members, and right now it's completely free. It'll always be free to sign up and join the Magento Association. There is a paid membership model that is going to be released soon, and that is going to allow you to vote for board directors. So I just wanted to get your feedback on paid membership and some of the things that would be advantageous for somebody to join the Magento Association.
Yeah, personally, I'm having a hard time there, as in that at some points when the Magento Association came to being, it was suggested that actually the Magento Association would become the formal way of having a Magento community. And then my personal reaction was, hey, but a Magento community. It was basically Ben Marks that also always shouted out that he can't be a community manager because a community is not something that you can manage. So a community is just arising on its own. An ecosystem comes to being. And of course, you can influence it. But the more you try to influence, the more it goes into maybe an opposite direction of what you want. So I always see a community, an open source community or an ecosystem, as something chaotic. So a little bit of the chaos theory needs to be in there. It's basically a lot of freedom, a lot of moving elements that all work together somehow in a mysterious way. But trying to formalize all of that is really hard. And that's also where I see the difficulty of the Magento Association. If they're trying to formalize the Magento community as a whole, then they might be able to sort that out to up to a certain way. But what if they include certain conversational partners because of some reason, and then because of some other reasons, others, and they're excluded from that same communication? Then actually with a normal, unorganized community, the new members, they just simply take a position, and if that's to the likings of the others, then suddenly they have a voice to be heard. But in a formal way, then first you need to invite them to the table, and you need to decide upon what role they're going to play, and etc. It's making it hard. So back to your paying for all of that. I'm not sure. I'm a little bit more skeptical on that side. So yeah, first I want to see basically what the price is for, and where the money is going to be spent on before saying, hey, this is a good thing.
Yeah, that's really good feedback, and thank you. And so what the price is for and where the money's going to be spent, that's such a great... That's so simple, right? Yeah, I think some of the things that has come up in my... I've been talking to a lot of that attended Meet Magento India, and aside from events and Meet Magento supporting events, he had mentioned workshops that could be sponsored by the association that anybody could attend, and maybe there's specific workshops that are either supported and paid for a facilitator to do, or that are relevant to the Magento community. So a PWA workshop or a extension building work, something that could be done from there, or even then in terms of training. I know they've been talking about training, but there are some ideas that are coming out of this that would help the community and give value to it. Yeah, I guess that's my two cents. I'm on the membership committee. That's my full transparency. And yep, Trying to hear about what value people want to see out of that dollar spent on the association, I think, is always important.
Yeah, but then personally, I'm more in favor of a synchronous flow of money, so that theoretically, if at Meet Magento India there's a need for a workshop to be sponsored, that maybe the Magento Association sits down and starts to ask for others to sponsor that, and that's basically then the formalization. So then there's still money involved, but that money is just flowing directly from that sponsor into the workshop, and that's it. Because the more basically the money is first gathered in the form of the Magento association, and then it flows to the right goals. The more you start to wonder, of course, well, the more others start to wonder where the money is being spent on. And as soon as you have, and as soon as that money starts to grow in that buffer, the opinions of people also start to differ what you can do with that money. And that's simply also from my practical background. I was once, I don't know about the terminology in English, but I was part of this group of house owners. And basically this organization or association of house owners was doing pretty okay. And of course you need to have some cash or some money in the bank just to allow for accidents to be fixed and the building to be rebuilt in case of a really big disaster or something. But because actually the money flow was healthy, some new house owners, they came in and they thought, okay, but let's spend it then on, to my opinion, unneeded things. So they were just seeing, hey, but I just came in and there's this big chunk of money that I can spend, instead of actually seeing a bigger picture. And that's the difficulty. That's the difficulty of having money in that Magento association and having different people come in at different points in time, having different opinions about how to spend all of that money. But yeah, I'm critical, but it doesn't mean that it's me shooting down the whole thing. And I'm also trusting that people like you can work it out in a proper way.
I think that's where transparency comes in. So you see where the money is, and we never had that in the Magento, the previous version of Magento. What was it called? Magento Association. Oh, we didn't have it in that. Transparency and the money coming in and where it's going. And then transparency and a plan in place along with a calendar of events that this money is going to be applied to. So, for example, if I would advocate for a learning person, maybe a chairperson that is a learning chair and a committee that is a learning committee or a training committee or whatever you want to call it, and then they have a budget that they can do to spend over a 12-month period. And anybody can, they could hire somebody. I don't know if you know anybody that does training on Magento. They could hire that person for maybe a quarter of the time to deliver specific training or a specific workshop for that. And that workshop would be open to people who have paid for the Magento Association, or they could typically there'd be a discount if it's a more expensive workshop. But again, just going back to transparency and planning, number one, gets you looking where everything is happening and it makes people excited about the year ahead. But then transparency helps people to understand that this money is being spent in a good way and it should get spent. So if somebody else has a better idea where it should be spent, that's also open then to the next budgeting period.
Yeah, so I'm actually coming before Magento. I was also involved with Joomla, a CMS that a lot of people have forgotten about, maybe for the right reasons. And Joomla was once really popular, but whenever you introduced finances in that community, then people would get upset because, hey, open source development needs to be free. So free as in free beer and not as in free speech. And that was always really difficult, basically to point out that as a developer or as a trainer or whatever, you came in just to make money. And that's a more healthy situation, at least in the Magento community. However, yeah, as you mentioned, transparency is key. And therefore, I would like to introduce an additional term on top of that, ruthless transparency. That's something I maybe coming up from with a different background. It reminds me maybe of almost a Buddhistic thing or so. But basically, ruthless transparency means that you need to be transparent all of the time regarding anything that you can come up with. And the reason I'm saying so is that actually one of the first efforts where the Magento Association got real has been the efforts of the Magento Association Open Source Task Force. So that's a different abbreviation. But anyway, that task force was opening up the conversation on a couple of the things that we mentioned in the beginning of this podcast about the open source roadmap, about where open source would go in general. But the earliest conversations were actually kept confidential. And that's not transparency, that's the opposite. And the reasons to keep that confidential was basically not to start talking about everything publicly when we didn't know what we were actually going to talk about. So if you're opening up a topic too early, that's the reasoning at least, if you're opening up a topic too early, then actually you're getting everyone's opinion already before you're actually ready to consume that feedback.
Yeah.
Well, ruthless transparency basically dictates, do it anyway. Just go with the flow. Everyone has the right for all of that information out there from the early start. And if that's giving you chaos, as in a lot of people that are giving you feedback Well, you're actually not waiting for that feedback at that moment. Tell them in their face. And that's the ruthless part, maybe. But I really strongly hope that the transparency that you mentioned is literally just transparency all the way. Because for me, that's the only way to really try to come up with a more formal thing within a chaotic community like we're currently in anyway. But yeah, so that's hopefully making sense.
No, that's good. Yeah, so transparency, ruthless transparency. And then I think that just involves planning. And then there's got to be a deadline. The other thing is that if you sit and debate about something, you can do that. We could do that into perpetuity, where if you have a deadline, this is where these are the topics, and in realistic, we can only tackle three or four topics. So they have to be a priority on those topics. And yeah, you're exactly right. I like that approach. So good. All right. Yeah. Isa, we are out of time, and I appreciate you being here. You were on episode number one, which was nearly a year ago now. Yeah, we've come a full year here, and we're still around, which is exciting.
And we're still exceeding all time efforts, so we said, let's keep it 20 minutes or so.
Yeah. First episode, let's do 20 minutes of content. And then we talked for an hour and 30 minutes. Good. Well, thank you again for being here, and thank you for all your comments, and I look forward to our next talk.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Cheers. This episode is brought to you by the Magento Association. Join today at magentoassociation.org/join. Be part of a great and vibrant Magento community. Thank you again for listening. My name is Brent Peterson, and it has been my pleasure to be your host today. Please rate and subscribe to wherever you download your podcasts. New episodes out every week.